Erev Tov, Shalom, Shalom, Chevra. Tonight we have the challenge of unwrapping Parshas Bahaloscha. We know that Parshas Bahaloscha is one of the most mysterious, one of the most tragic Parshas B'chol HaTorah Kula, because it's very difficult to comprehend what takes place. There's a certain setup in the beginning of the Parsha, and as the Gemara in Shabbos tells us, in the midst we have Vayihi bin Soa Ha'aron, in the middle of Parshas Bahaloscha, really is a break, because the second half of the Parsha really takes us in a very, very different direction than we're going in the first part. And what I want to try and do tonight is to try and make sense of Parshas Bahaloscha and see what the deeper message of Bahaloscha really is. And in fact, the Balei Kabbalah already tell us, Moshe Wolfson talks about in his Sefer Emunah Itecha Ba'arichus, that in Parshas Bahaloscha, the Organus is shining very, very brightly. Meaning, throughout Parshas Bahaloscha, the most hidden, the most pure light that has the secrets of everything comes out with full force when a person delves into Parshas Bahaloscha. What does that mean, even? I think when we learn Bahaloscha and we understand really what's behind it all, we'll be able to understand that. And tonight, the Torah that we're saying is really based on the Sefer Amita Shal Torah from Rav Yitzchak Tursky Shlita from Eretz Yisrael, who used to be a number of years back the head of the Tanakh department. Frisch was a Camp Mosheva, whose son Nechemiah Yirmiyo was attacked this week in Eretz Yisrael. I heard he's doing a lot better. Bez Shem Nechemiah Yirmiyo Ben Geula should have Refuah Shleima, and also the learning that we do tonight should be Refuah Shleima of Tinok ben Chana Fagel. Tinok ben Chana Fagel is the newborn baby son of one of the pillars of our regular women's Parsha Shir that I hope someday soon we'll be able to go back to in person. Be'ezus Hashem Yisparach Shemo. So let's get into Parshas Bahaloscha. It would be very helpful if you had a Chumash in front of you, but we're quickly going to go through the beginning of Bahaloscha. And the beginning of the Bahaloscha really is a setup. It's a setup for the Jewish people to go into Eretz Yisrael. The beginning of the parasha, interestingly, starts off with the menorah. Why it starts off with the menorah now, it's a little bit unclear. Maybe by the end of our learning together, we'll have a better understanding of why the beginning of the parasha starts off with the menorah. But we know Rashi's troubled by it. All the Rishonim are troubled by it. And Rashi quotes the famous Chazal, because Aaron HaKohen saw the Chanukah HaMizbeach, the inauguration of the Mizbeach, by all of the 12 Nesiim. He was upset that his Shevet Levi, Kohanim, weren't represented. And Hashem said, don't worry, this is what you have. You have Hadlokas HaMenorah. And we know the Ramban asked the famous question on Rashi, and we've learned the Machlokas Rashi Ramban in the past. We're not going to get into that. But the Parsha starts a little bit strange with the menorah, but then it goes right away to continuation about the inauguration of the Levium. And then after the inauguration of the Levium and the requirements for a Levi to serve, we come to Karban Pesach. What's Karban? I understand the inauguration of a Levium is about the functioning of the Mishkan. But what's Karban Pesach doing here? Again, remember, the Torah is not a storybook. Everything that the Torah tells us has a vital, vital lesson. So obviously the Karban Pesach here, the first Karban Pesach that they're bringing in the desert, the only until the end, right? This is the second Karban Pesach, the first they brought in Egypt. They've been in the desert for a year. Now they're bringing another Karban Pesach. And one could argue that the only reason that we speak of this Karban Pesach, why it's significant that they did this here, is because this leads to Pesach Sheni, right? And there's very, very important Musar lessons, Lama Nigara, the Jews who were Tamei Nefesh, and they ask, why are we going to be left out? We also want to bring a Karban Pesach. And so that teaches us deep, deep Torahs about Ratzon, about desire, about not letting anything stop you in your achieving your goals. And that leads to the creation of a mitzvah Pesach Sheni. But we know that there's a different message also by telling us that the Jewish people brought a Pesach, Karban Pesach here. Because what is the Karban Pesach all about? The Karban Pesach is all about bringing the Jewish people together, right? We know there are only two positive commandments that if a person doesn't do them, they get kares. And one is if a baby boy doesn't have a bris milah, God forbid. And the other is if a Jew doesn't have Karban Pesach, there's a chi of kares. Why? Because these are the two positive commandments that identify a person as a Jew. So here we have, finishing the inauguration of the Mishkan. We're told in Bamidbar how everyone encamps around the Mishkan. And now the Torah tells us that they brought a Karban Pesach. And this Karban Pesach is about bringing everyone together. It's about solidifying this very, very large family and tribe into an Am, into a nation. And for what purpose? Because they're ready, getting ready to go in. They're getting ready to go into Eretz Yisrael. And it's very clear, because after Pesach Sheni, we're told, Al Pi Hashem Yisuv, Al Pi Hashem Yachanu, right, that the Jewish people, all their traveling done in the Midbar was based on Hashem. And this is something that we speak of soon, not yet, about some of the travels that the Jewish people have, but it tells us how they're going to be traveling, how they're going to be going in. And of course, it's not only about the formal details of it, but Al Pi Hashem Yisu, Al Pi Hashem Yachanu is obviously a deeper Torah, of course, as well. We've said many times from the Shlach Kadosh that everything we do, Al Pi Hashem, Be'ezus Hashem, B'siyata D'shmaya, right, Baruch Hashem, that we recognize Hashem is what makes everything happen. And the Jewish people don't move without clear instruction from the Ribon Shel Olam at this point. Then we're told about the trumpets. The trumpets is the vehicle by which the Jewish people are alerted to the fact that they have to travel. But we know that the Torah then says, and it's not only in the desert that they use the trumpets, the Torah says that when you go into the land, you're going to use the trumpets to gather everyone for war, you're going to blow the trumpets at the time of your joy in the Beis HaMikdash. So we see that this is something also that's about bringing the people together and alerting them when they have to come together. And the very last thing that we read before Vayihi ben Soa Aharon, before we have this very strange interruption in the midst of Parshas Bahaloscha, which is a shiur in of itself, in which, again, we've learned many times together what this exactly is doing, so we're not going to focus on that tonight. But what we come to is that the Bnei Yisrael begin traveling. And the Torah tells us about how they travel, which tribe travels first, and then the Levim, and it goes through the order of the Vayisu, of the traveling. And we're told that the travel was from Har Sinai. I mean, the Jewish people up until this point have been at Har Sinai. The gathering of all the materials for the Mishkan, obviously, Moshe Rabbeinu three times up and down Har Sinai, they were all at Har Sinai. But building of the Mishkan, the inauguration of the Mishkan, the Karban Sheni, this was all at Har Sinai. And now they start traveling. And it's at the very end of this section, at the very end of Perek Yud, when we're told, Vayomer Moshe L'chovo ben Reuel HaMidyani, Hosein Moshe, that Moshe asks his father-in-law, Yisro, to stay with him. And Yisro says, no, I have to go back to my place. I'm going to go back. But Moshe tells him, what do you mean? We're going to be going into Eretz Yisrael so soon. In just a period of a few days, we might be on the cusp of entering the land. Come in with us. And Yisro says, no, I have to go. And Yisro, you know, exits stage left. Yisro leaves. And then we have Vayihi ben Soa Aharon. So we have this very strange interruption, the Nun and Hafuch and the upside down Nuns. But you could look at it, Vayihi ben Soa Aharon of Nucha Yomar. This is the ultimate travel, that when the Aaron travels, this is what's going to happen, and this is a precursor of what's going to happen when the Jews are going to go into the land of Israel, right? The Aaron's going to go in, and Moshe's going to say, Hashem, please scatter all our enemies. And the Shivas Umos, the Zayin HaMin of Eretz Canaan, are all going to leave. And the Vnucha Yomer, Shuvah Hashem Rivos Alpha Israel, and a period of rest, meaning we're ready. We're ready. We're on the cusp of entering into Eretz Yisrael with Moshe Rabbeinu leading us. We're ready for whether it's the Messianic age, unclear exactly what would have happened if that was the situation. But we're on the cusp of fulfilling God's final promise to the Avos that He's going to bring us into the land. We know there are Arba Lashona Shel Geulos, the four expressions of redemption from Egypt, but we know the fifth expression, Behevesi, and I'm going to bring them into the land. And that's what we're about to do. We're about to go into the land. And what happens? Total, total chaos. A total breakdown. Vayihi ha'am kimisonanim rab ozne Adonai, vayishma Adonai, vayichar apo vativravam esh Adonai, yerid, v'tochel b'kzeh machne. What just happened? the pasuk tells us that the people were like complainers, speaking evil in the ears of God, and Hashem hears, and his anger flares, and he sends a fire to consume them, and it consumes at the part of the camp. Vayitzak amel Moshe, the people scream to Moshe, vayispal Moshe al Adonai vatishkaish. Moshe davens, the fire dies down. Vayikar shem hamakom ahu Taveira ki baru vam esh Adonai. They call that name of the place Taveira because there the fire of God consumed them. Okay, consumed them, consumed part of them. So we don't know what just happened. What just happened here? It's unclear. Bechlal, we don't know. The pasuk doesn't tell us. The pasuk just says they start kvetching. They're misown nimra. Kim is on nimra, like complainers. Beb aznei Hashem. Hashem hears and he sends a fire. Very confusing. Very confusing what just happened. But then pasuk dalet, it gets worse. We're in Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Dalet, Vasaf Suf, Asaf Suf, which is a very strange word. Vasaf Suf, Asaf means to gather. Asaf Suf is the gatherings. It translates here the mob of people. Asher Bekirbo, Hisavu Ta'ava, Vyashvu, Vayivku, Gambene Yisrael, Vayomer Miachilenu Basar. The Asaf Suf, this mob, this gathering that was within them, they had this desire, they sat and they cried, and also Bnei Yisrael said, who is going to feed us meat? We don't know exactly who this Asaf Suf is, who this gathering is. You look in Rashi, Elu Erevarav. These are the Erevarav. These were Egyptians that went along with the Jewish people, that joined the Jewish people on their march out of Egypt. So they became Jews. They were at Har Sinai, right? There were no Jews before Har Sinai. We became Jews by dint of the Torah HaKadosha. So the Erevarav ultimately were Jews, right? But the Shorish HaNeshama was from a different place, meaning the Shorish of their Neshamas weren't from Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Vileya. But I'm not going to get into that distinction here, but the Asaf Suf, they have a desire for meat. Who's going to feed us meat? And then the Jewish people start saying crazy things. We remember the fish that we ate in Egypt for free, right? And now our soul is dry. We only have this man. But, and the Pasuk says, the man. Understand, this man was awesome. The Pasuk then goes, like, as an insert, editor's note, by the way, the man was awesome. These people are crazy, right? That's what the Torah tells. The Torah tells us what the man was at this point. Moshe hears these people complaining. This and Moshe is done. Moshe here, Moshe's finished. We don't see this before. Why do I have this burden on me? Where am I going to have meat to give them? What's this about? Kill me now. Moshe Rabbeinu. Chet Egel, he didn't say this. By other times the Jewish people were complaining, he doesn't say this. What's going on? Moshe's like, Moshe's finished. And Hashem tells him to gather together Shivimish, gather together 70 men, and you're going to see, he says, I'm going to give you help. That's what happens after, that Hashem gives him help. There is, the interesting interlude here of Eldad and Medad, that there were two of the people who were chosen that weren't going to be included in the 70, right? We know that not everyone, there were too many people chosen to be part of the 70. Everyone had to draw a lot to be, if you would be one of the Zikanim as part of the Sanhedrin, as part of the High Court. Eldad and Medad are not. They remain by their tents prophesying, and Yoshua loses it. Yoshua gets very upset. Yoshua runs to tell, someone runs to tell Moshe. It wasn't Yoshua who tells him, but Bayan Yoshua ben Nun, Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Chav Ches 28, Yoshua ben Nun says, Adoni Moshe Kaloi, my master Moshe, destroy them. Like get rid of Eldad and Medad. They're a threat. And Moshe's like, what are you talking about? Whoa, you're so zealous for me. Umi ten kol am Adonai neviim ki ten Adonai es rucho aleim. Alavai, all of Hashem's nation should be prophets, and Hashem should put a spirit upon them. Okay? And after this, again, the Lashon of Asaf, you find many, many times here. The quail comes, fills the camp. people stuffing themselves, many die when they're stuffing themselves with the quail, amaka, rabba, ma'od, basar is still between their teeth, and the name of that place is Kivro Satava, the graves of desire. The grave of desire, and then Perek Yibbeis, on the heels of this, is the episode with Miriam and Aaron, speaking Lashon Hara about Moshe. It's like the first half of the Parsha and the second half of the Parsha are like two different nations, two totally different stories. It's like it quickly unravels. After Vayibin Soa, the first beginning of the Parsha, everything is being set up. We're getting ready to go into a camp. We're all together. There's a Karban Pesach. There are the Chatzotzros, the trumpets gathering everyone together. They start traveling. They leave Har Hashem. They're on the way to Eretz Yisrael. Moshe tells Yisro, where are you going? We're about to enter the land. And Yisro's like, no, I got to go. I got to go back to my people. I'm going to teach them, right? And then calamity. What happened? What happens? What was the source of this calamity? So Rabbi Yitzchak Tursky Shlita, he points out in his Sefer Amita Shel Torah very, very important ideas. Now, to really fully develop this, it will take way too much time. I apologize, it's late. I know with Mincha Marv, we're starting the Shurim later and later. But, I apologize. A number of people thought it was still at 8:30. They didn't realize that it was 8:45. I apologize to those people. But Lemaisa, Rabbi Tursky points out there are a couple of keys to understanding what's happening with the Misonanim, with the Asapsuf, and Eldad and Melim and everything. And he thinks the key is what the Torah says, that they were Misonanim Ra Ba'aznei Hashem, right? They were, well, actually, but before we start analyzing the Psukim, he said we have to look at Parshas Balosha in the broader structure of what's going on. Meaning, we know that that Sefer Shemos ends with God's presence coming into the Mishkan, right? We know the Shechanti B'Socham, the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim was that Hashem should rest his name upon the Jewish people, they would accept the Torah at Har Sinai, and then they'd go into the land, and Hashem would rest his name on the Jewish people there, right? So Parsha Sefer Shemos ends, the Mishkan is built, God's presence fills the Mishkan. Then Sefer Vayikra tells us, the whole Sefer Vayikra is what Torah's Kohanim. It's the instructions for Kohanim, but don't make the mistake. It doesn't mean literally only the Kohanim, the male direct descendants of Aaron a Kohen. No. Torah's Kohanim is for all of the Jewish people. Instructions for all of the Jewish people. Yes, there are Karbanos teaching us how this Mishkan, this Mikdash, the sanctuary for God's presence in this world has to function. Yes, there are some specific instructions for the Kohanim, but we know much of Sefer Vayikra is not only for Kohanim, literally the priest caste, but for all the Jewish people. Because after all, V'shachanti B'socham doesn't only mean the Mishkan and Mikdash. It doesn't mean only the Kohanim. It means V'shachanti B'socham of all the Jewish people. And we know Mamleches Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh, that we're a Mamleches Kohanim. All the Jewish people, we're a kingdom of Kohanim. Just like the Kohanim, the Shluchei D'Rachman for the Jewish people, the messengers of God to interact with the Jewish people. The Jewish people are God's messengers to interact with the whole world. That's our role, and that's why we're so hated in this world. Right? People resent truth, which we'll get to. But we come to the end of Sefer Vayikra, and what's interesting, the end of Sefer Vayikra, if you remember, in Bahar, in Bechukosai, we start talking about the laws of the land of Israel, a little bit in Emor, a little bit in Kedoshim, because we're transitioning. We're not supposed to be in the Midbar a long time. Yes, the laws of the Mishkan are also going to be used in the Beis HaMikdash, but it's also, at the end of Parshas as Sefer Vayikra, we see, we start talking about V'shachanti B'socham in terms of the land, the holiness of land, of Shemitah and Yovel, and the laws of redemption of the different types of inheritance, the different types of homes, different types of fields, the mitzvahs that you have to do with your fields, the Matnas Aniyim, and then we come to Sefer Bamidbar, and it's like, okay, showtime, we're going in. And therefore, when we come to Perek Yud Aleph, when it all breaks down, Rav Tversky suggests that what's going on over here has to be seen in light of everything that we just said. So the Jewish people are recognizing that they're going to go into the land, but they're recognizing also that Torah and mitzvos is what's going to bring God in, their presence. V'shachanti b'socham. Now, Perek Yud Aleph. V'yihi ha'am k'misonanim ra b'oznei Hashem. That they're like complainers, speaking evil in the ears of God. Now, what does that mean? They're misonanim ra b'oznei Hashem. You know, it's interesting. If you look just a few psukim before, in Perek Yud, Pasuk Chav Tes, when Moshe is talking to Yisro, his father-in-law, he says, "Ve'hitav nuloch ki Hashem diber tov al Yisrael." He tells Yisro that he says that Hashem has spoken good about the Jewish people. Hashem is going to give them this land. This land is great. Hashem has spoken only good about this people. Right? So we hear one thing, Hashem's spoken only good about these people. He's going to be giving them this land. It's all good. And then what happens? The Jewish people, Vayisu mehar Hashem derech shloshes yomim, they travel away from Har Sinai. Vayhi ha'am kimisonanim rab ba'aznei Hashem. The people start complaining. Ba'aznei Hashem. Meaning, Hashem speaks good about them. Hashem wants to give them good. But now, kimisonanim, they're like complainers. But meaning, it wasn't really and the Torah doesn't even tell us what they complained about, because the complaint was meaningless. The complaint wasn't real. But what was kimisonim rabbas ne'ashem? They would just wanted to speak bad about God. Meaning, this was really a rejection of Hashem to a degree. And what happens? An Eish Hashem comes and consumes them. Rav Tversky points out, what's interesting is, here the Jewish people first leave Har Sinai. We're told they travel away from Har Sinai. And this is the first encampment past Har Sinai. And what happens? What happens is there's a rejection of Hashem. He says, what's interesting is, when Hashem rested his presence on the Mishkan for the first time, the beginning of V'shachanti B'socham, the beginning of the process of Hashem's presence coming into this world, first amongst the Mishkan, then amongst all the Jewish people, then into the land of Israel, meaning spreading out of God's presence. And then obviously, Kimitzion Teitzei Torah V'Hashem Yerushalayim, it's supposed to be to the whole world. God's word is to go out to the whole world from Yerushalayim, from Eretz Yisrael, the Or LaGoyim. Or LaGoyim doesn't mean we have to be in Galus. Or LaGoyim in the ideal form is, of course, to be a light unto the nations, is that we're living in Israel and we're a model nation amongst other nations, right? But what happens here, at this first step after Har Sinai, this first experience of Hashem resting his presence on the Jewish people, like we're traveling, okay, here we go, we have our Mishkan, we're heading towards the land, God's presence amongst us, and the people are rejecting Hashem. And there's a fire of Hashem. Remember what happened on the first day when the Mishkan was inaugurated? What happened? There was also a fire of Hashem. Because Nadav and Avihu, Aaron's two older sons, they decided that they were going to bring in Esh Zara. They were going to do their own thing. Meaning, obviously, not Misonim Rabba Aznei Hashem. A different expression, but seemingly of the same root. That what? That we don't want God to tell us what to do. We are going to be the ones to decide what to do. Right? So therefore, Nadav and Avihu, we're going to bring our own fire. Hashem didn't say, that's okay, we're going to bring our fire. We're the ones to decide. And an Eish Hashem comes and consumes them. These people are kimisonim rabba aznei Hashem, like complaints. They didn't have any complaints. They just wanted to speak rabba aznei Hashem. They were rejecting Hashem. Hashem speaks good of them. Hashem wants to give them good, wants to give them the land. No, this is already the root of what we're going to see in next week's Parsha also, Chevra, of Parsha Shlach, of course, the rejection of the land of Israel with the Meraglim. The root is right here. The Misonim Rabbas Nei Hashem. And that's why the Eish Hashem consumes them. And Moshe, for this, cries out. But now, because Moshe understood this was a complaint against Hashem, and we have to deal with this. Right, he davens to Hashem, Vatishka Eish, Vaikoshem Amakum Tavera, Ki Barubam Eish Hashem. They understood the fire of Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu understood that people, you know, the misonim, there was no real complaints. Dibe Rabbas Ne Hashem cried out, Hashem, listen, they're immature, but understand they're going to see the good. they're going to recognize the good. But then comes the Asafsuf. And the Asafsuf is a different level, because what? Here it's not speaking against Hashem. Here, it's an expression of something else. There's a smoke screen here. Here they're saying it's about the man. We don't want the man. We want real food. And it's translated ultimately in Pasuk Yud Ches, when Hashem tells Moshe what to tell the people, that the people, ki bechisem ba'aznei Adonai leimor, mi achilenu basar ki tov lanu b'mitzrayim. That the people are, again, bechisem. Here you're not speaking bad, but you're crying in the ears of God, saying, who's going to feed us this meat because we had it better in Egypt? Again, what does that mean? They're crying in God's ear. Here it's not speaking evil in God's ear, rejection of God. Here, they're crying in Hashem's ear, meaning they're crying, oh, we want the meat. We had it so good in Egypt. But there's a smokescreen. Really, it's the same thing as the Misononim. But they're not doing it directly against Hashem. Too much to do it directly against Him. They learned. They have learned that we have to take it a different level. We can't have such a frontal assault. So they say it's about the meat. But the question is here again. Is it really about the meat? The Sifri in Bamidbar, the Medrash tells us, when the Jewish people say, Zacharnu es dag asher nochal b'mitzrayim chinam, we're going to remember the fish that we ate in Egypt for free. Did you eat any fish for free? Didn't you? What are you, crazy? Paru, who told them, you have to go get your own straw to make the bricks, he gave them fish for free? No, what did it mean? Free from mitzvos. Free from mitzvos. What the Jewish people were resenting here was the Alpi Hashem Yisu v'Alpi Hashem Yachanu. They were resenting the whole notion of Hashem being the one to dictate to them every aspect of their life. No. They didn't want to be Avdei Hashem. They would rather be back as Avdei Paro. All they had to do, they had to do a task for Paro. But then, there was downtime. Torah mitzvahs. It's a different level of Avdus. It's a totally different level. Obviously, it's supposed to be enriching and elevating and ennobling. But that wasn't the perspective they had. And why not? Rabbi Twersky points out there's a word that's used in this parsha that's used only one other time in all of Torah. In this form. And you know what the word is? Ta'ava. V'asasuf asher b'kirbo hisavu ta'ava v'yoshvu v'yivku gam b'nei Yisrael. The asafsuf, this mob that was in the midst, tisavu ta'ava. They desired a desire. Where else do we have this word ta'ava? So I'm sure you're saying it out loud right now, you remember, but it's v'tera ha'isha, Kitov ha'etz lema'achal v'chi sa'ava hu, le'enayim. V'tera ha'isha kitov ha'etz lema'achal v'chi sa'ava hu le'enayim. Who is this? This is, of course, Chava. Chava saying that Hashem said we can't eat from this tree. And of course, the Nachash says, because the day you eat from this tree, v'yisim ke'elohim yodei tovara, you are going to be the true power. Because knowledge is power. You're going to know good and evil. V'tera isha ki tova etzel machal v'chi ta'ava hu la'inayim. What does Chava see? Chava sees this fruit, and it's a ta'ava la'inayim. The same word here by the Asaf Suf. And Rav Twersky points out, why is the Torah using the same word? You know why the Torah is using the same word? Because the Torah is teaching it's the same sin all over again. The sin of Adam the Chava in the Gan was the sin of the Jewish people as they were about to enter Eretz Yisrael. As they're about to enter in a different, again, according to Midrashim, that if Moshe had brought them in, Mashiach would have come, it would have been the third Beis HaMikdash, it would have been coming back to Gan Eden. But here, Klal Yisrael falls to the same sin of Adam and Chava, the sin of Ta'ava, the sin of Hashem, you're not going to tell me what's right and what's wrong. You're not going to be able to dictate to me everything. I want to be able to do this for myself. That's the key to understanding what happens in this parsha. And this is why Moshe Rabbeinu, when he sees behind the smoke screen, he understands what, that it's tava. That and again, why don't we want? Meaning, this is what Moshe said. Why are we rejecting Hashem as the arbiter of tova ra? Because it conflicts with our tava. It conflicts with desire. It conflicts with a very, very different lifestyle that the Jewish people were being misavet, that they were desiring. And of course, that this is what the Medrash Rashi quotes, Bochel Mishpachosav, that when Moshe heard the nation crying to their families by the each person by the tent, by the door of his tent, there was very Hashem was very upset. What does Rashi quote? Of course, that they were crying about forbidden sexual relations. Right, that the Isurim, that they were taught that they couldn't have certain relationships. That's what a Bochel Mishpachosav, meaning all motivated by Taiva. And so Moshe Rabbeinu, it's like after everything they've been through, meaning that all they wanted was meat, okay, I could get them meat. But it's not about meat. It's about something much, much deeper. It's about an ultimate rejection of Hashem. And that Hashem is not the arbiter of Tov Vera, that the Jewish people themselves were going to be the arbiter of Tov Vera. And that's why Hashem tells him, listen, Moshe, set up Sekanim, create a Sanhedrin, they're going to help you with this, right? There's going to be a system of courts. And in this system of courts, you're not going to be dealing with it all by yourself. Even at the top, there are those that are going to help you. But then when Eldad and Medad, what's the point of Eldad and Medad? Because, and why does Yeshua respond so, so intensely, vociferously, belligerently? Adoni Moshe Kalein, Moshe, wipe out Eldad and Medad. Why? Because what does the Torah tell us about Eldad and Medad? The Torah tells us about Eldad and Medad, that the Spirit of God first came down, Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Chaf Hey, the Spirit of God came down in a cloud. Hashem spoke, and part of God's Spirit that went on, that was on Moshe went on the 70 Zekanim. Vayisharu Pasuk Chavav Shnei Anashim. There were two men in the camp. One was Eldad, one was Medad. Vatanach Lema Ruach Vehema Baksuvim Velo Yatsu Ha'Oal Veisnabu Bamachem. What does the Torah tell us about Eldad and Medad? The 70s of Canaan, where were they? They were by the Oel Moed with Moshe. It was very clear that their prophecy, their Ruach Hashem that imbued them and inspired them to speak, to prophesize, that was because of Moshe. It was through Moshe. But where are Eldad and Medad? Eldad and Medad are by their tents in the camp. Eldad and Medad start prophesying in the midst of the camp. So Yeshua says, Moshe, end this. End this. People are going to see Eldad and Medad misnabin, that they're prophesying. What are they going to say? They're going to say, oh, Eldad and Medad, you know, look, they're not with Moshe, and they're prophesying. Maybe they could be our leaders. Meaning Moshe, Emes, Vitaroso, Emes, Moshe was Hashem's Shlucha d'Rachmana, the conduit of bringing Eibishter to the Jewish people, right? Shechina medaberes mitoch grono shel Moshe. The Medrash says that it was as if God's presence spoke through Moshe Rabbeinu's voice box. He was a different type of prophet, right? But yet, one second, if Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp, they're not with all the others of Canaan by the Oel Moed. Maybe their prophecy is something else. Maybe we have another leader here instead of Moshe. What is this the kernel of? Right, we spoke that misonim rabbas ne Hashem, that they're rejecting the good that Hashem did for them, the good of Eretz Yisrael that Hashem wants to bring them to, that Moshe just told Yisro, the Hashem is speaking good of the Jewish people, bringing them into the land, this good land, right? And that was the kernel of the Chet HaMeraglim. What's the kernel of sin that we find in Yeshua's concern of Eldad and Medad prophesying in the camp? Of course, Korach, Shlach, Korach, right after. The next sin, challenging Moshe Rabbeinu's authority. And that's what happens even with Miriam and Aaron, according to Rabbi Twersky. That's why after Eldad and Medad, it created a little bit of not doubt, God forbid. Was it jealousy? You know, that's another thing. What motivated Miriam and Aaron to speak? Was it purely L'shem Shamayim? Unclear. Right? That's an ashir for itself to really understand what was going on with Moshe, with Miriam and Aaron. But here also, the same idea of Hashem coming to clarify, there is no question that there is no prophet like Moshe. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu. The Midrashim say that even Avram Avinu, Avram says, Anochi offer ve'efer ambatos denashes to speak to you in front of God. Moshe Rabbeinu v'anachnu ma, what am I? I'm nothing. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't even consider himself dust and ashes. Meaning, Moshe Rabbeinu was even more humble than Avram Avinu. And in that way, he was, we know, even the greater prophet than Avram Avinu. He was the Avlin Aviyah Moshe Rabbeinu. Because of this. So here we see again, that in the second half of the Parsha, the same theme, continuing really from Chava, through Nadav and Avihu, now to the Jewish people, affecting their relationship with Hashem, affecting possibly how they see Moshe Rabbeinu, how they see the land of Israel. But it all comes down to them rejecting Hashem as the arbiter of what is good and what is evil. And therefore, if Hashem's saying that there's this great land, they don't want to go to this land. We're done with this land, right? They're afraid of the land. And that's why, again, the roots of the sin of the Meraglim and the sin of Korach are right here in the second half of Balosha. But we have to understand what it is. And now we understand maybe, just maybe, why the Parsha begins with the menorah. Why does the Parsha begin with the menorah? I understand it's a connection to the Chanukah Samizbeach. Okay, that's nice. Why this? Because what is the menorah? The Gemara in Baba Basra tells us, as we've discussed many times before, the menorah is the source of Torah Sheba'al Peh. The menorah, the Gemara in Baba Basra says, all those who want wisdom turn towards the south when they were in the Beis Hamikdash, because the menorah was in the south of the Heichal, of the big building in front of the Kodesh Kadoshim. It was towards the south. The menorah represents Chachmas HaTorah. So therefore, you know, when we talk about the Refuah Kodem Lamaka, Hashem gives the Refuah Kodem Lamaka. You know what the hint of the menorah at the beginning of Parshas Baalosha is? That you're going to read something in this Parsha that's going to blow your mind. The Jewish people, man, is going to fall apart. Fall apart. You know how you make sure you don't fall apart? Turn to the menorah. Ye'iru Shivas HaNeiros, right? Kiner Mitzvah V'Torah Or. You have to look to the light of the menorah. And this is why, of course, that the Zohar, so many Mekubalim talk about Parshas Baalosha being filled with the Arganas, with the hidden light, the light that is Kulo Tov, the light that is Kulo Emes. Because Dafka in the greatest darkness, that's where, if you dig deep enough, you can find the greatest light. When you get to the heart of darkness, there you find the most pristine and the purest are. And that's what you have to cut through. That's what you have to journey through when you go through a Parshas Baalosha. But if you get to the core, you see that the Arganas, that light that is kulo emes, the light that is all good, that of course is hidden in the Torah, many say. The Arganas is hidden in the Torah. Now we get it. Because what is the Torah? The Torah is, of course, Torah's Chayim. The Torah is where we understand that it's all from the Eivishter, that all the instructions, this is what it is to live a good life. And this also explains where we are today. Normally in Parshir, I don't go off on current event tangents. I save that for Shul on Shabbos. And I still might talk about this in Shul on Shabbos. But we know, Balei Kabbalah tell us, that as we get close to Mashiach, we're going to move backwards. We're going to move backwards through the Torah. Right? What does that mean? We've said many times, Rabbi Yaakov Meir Schechter, quotes from Rabbi Nachman and other sources, that before Mashiach comes, the Dor HaMabul and Dor HaFlug are going to come back. The Dor HaMabul and Dor HaFlug, you're going to find unbelievable, unbelievable heresy. You're going to find sexual morality, the likes of which mamsh haven't been seen since the Dor HaMabul. Because we're moving back to the beginning of time, right? We're moving back to the ultimate tikkun, and we're moving through the tikkunim of the Dor HaFlaga and the Dor HaMabel, and we have to live in a time that is full of heresy, time that is full of immorality, and we have to hold on to our truth, we have to hold on to the Kutch Brichu. As many tzaddikim say, at the end of days, Emuna is going to be a rope, and the Satan is going to be holding one end, and another Malach of Chabala, Mazikin, is going to be holding the other, and Hashem is going to give them permission to try and shake the rope, to shake off all of Klal Yisrael, to shake us off the rope with heresy, Dor HaFlaga, with preaches of the Dor HaMabel. And we're going through that. But then, I think we're coming to the last stage. What's the last stage? The last stage is, of course, the sin of Adam and Chava, meaning the final tikkun before we get to the days of Mashiach, which are going to be like days of Gan Eden. And what is that? And that is, of course, the challenge of Yodei Tovara. Who really knows what's good and bad? And we're living in a society that you know, people talk about fake news, but they're fake facts. They're fake everything. There's no such thing as objective anything anymore. There's nothing that's objective. Biology isn't. Nothing's objective. And it's Mikol HaTzadim. On all sides, that we have this bizarre thing, that what seems to be like clear, like this is a book. No, that's not a book. That's a carrot. Why is it a carrot? No, it's not a book. It's a carrot. I'm saying it's a carrot. It's crazy. We're living in a world that mamish makes no sense. That 2 + 2 isn't 4 anymore. Like what's going on? But this is exactly the challenge, Chevra. This is the challenge of Yodei Tovara. This is the challenge of Adam and Chava. This is the challenge of the Mesonanim and the Asafsuf. That before the ultimate redemption, they were supposed to go into the land. And we know there are many Midrashim. What was supposed to be if they would have gone in then? If there wasn't the Chet HaMeraglim? If there wasn't the sin of the Mesonanim and the Asafsuf that was sending the Jewish people spiraling downward? Rachman l'Otzlan Sarenu Harav. And here we are again, ready to enter the land. Here we are again with the final nisyonos of the Dor HaFlaga, the Dor HaMabel, but now we're even past that. Again, those nisyonos are still raging, but we're moving past that. The fundamental truths of our world are no longer true. There's no such thing as true and false. There's no such thing as objectivity. We're living in crazy, crazy times. And who would have seen this 100 years ago? Who would have seen this 50 years ago? It's crazy. And so this is something that I think when you plumb the depths of a Parshas Balosra, we're staring in a mirror. We're staring in a mirror when we look at Parshas Balosra, when we look at the second half of the Parsha. And we have to do everything that we can to reject the Asafsuf, to reject the Misonanim, to try and make sure that we choose wisely. And of course, as the Gemara Sukkah says, that the challenges get greater every day. As we get closer and closer, the challenges just get more and more. And we have to daven for siyata deshmaya, al pi Hashem yisu v'al pi Hashem yachanu. That we know that everything that we do, all the travel is al pi Hashem. And with Bezus Hashem, by being committed to this, Tzadik ben Munas Yichya will be zocha to see the Gula Shleima, will be zocha to see a day when truth, when the Amita Shel Torah will fill the world, will fill the entire world. Have a great night, everyone. Have a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos.